2. We're going to be in quite a few places tonight, but we'll start in Daniel 9. So go back over in your Bibles to Daniel 9, and I'm going to look at the 70th week of Daniel. And so we worked on last week the top of this chart, which I gave you a chart tonight. We're going to look at the bottom of this chart tonight, the 70th week of Daniel, which is the tribulation period, all the things associated with that. And as you know, there's just so much to teach between really the rapture and the second coming. There's just so much. And I want to remind you that we're doing a flyover, okay? It's like we're at 30,000 feet, and we're learning the high points of the timeline and prophecy. And so I'm going to do my best to stay there, and because if we get too deep in any one thing, we won't fly as far. But anyway, we're going to try to do that for this bottom half of the chart tonight. Last week we looked at the rapture of the saints, the judgment, marriage supper of the Lamb. That's why I said tonight you don't have any blanks to fill in. I was started to say something, and then I said something else and forgot what I was going to say. The reason I didn't give you a ton of blanks tonight is because we're going to be going over a whole lot of stuff, and I just feel like maybe just listen. If you're a note taker, jot down what you can. But I'll be happy to just give you some notes, some written notes, or whatever you'd like. But I wanted you to have the chart and not be so worried and trying to fill out all the blanks, just so you don't miss. I know how I am. I start writing stuff down and I stop listening, and then I'm like, where did he go? Why did he say that? And that's why you just have that for your notes. But you do have a whole back blank page, so you can write down anything you want. If you're like the kids, you can draw a funny picture of me. I find those in the pew every now and then, and I appreciate those. So maybe that's not the kids doing that. I don't know. But anyway, you just do what you want to do. But we're going to be looking at the bottom part of the chart. Now, I want to just explain again, when we looked at the top part, again, that little dotted line separates what happens in heaven from earth. And so we kind of looked at our path, the path of the church. And so we have the rapture. We spent a couple weeks there. Then last week, we looked at the judgment of the saints. And then the covenant confirmed is the marriage of the Lamb, followed by the marriage supper. And what I said is, I don't know for a fact that marriage supper is going to be 7 years. It's very likely that it will be. It's also likely that it won't be. All right. It's the order and it's the events themselves that we know are going to happen. We know there will be a judgment. We know there'll be the marriage of the Lamb. We know that there will be a marriage supper. And we know that that's followed by the return of Christ. So having the order and having the events is the main thing. just in case you weren't here and you're like, where did he get the 7 years up there? It has to do with the ancient Jewish wedding and the feast that follows and all that good stuff. And I did give a little bit of Bible to support that, but it's not something I can just go ahead and be dogmatic on, because at the end of the day, that's up to the Lord how long we're going to have a marriage supper. But anyway, so now we're going to look at the bottom half, and we're going to start right here. Oh, one more thing on your notes. It says 2021. I had a question about this last week, so I thought it was a little bit confusing. 2021 must have been the last time I used this chart, all right? And so I didn't update it to 2023. But if you'd like to do that, you can just go to put 2023 right there. And then the little question mark, so we're living in that first little bullet point, 2023. The little question mark is there is because we don't know how long it'll be till the rapture. So that's just an unknown period of time. And we're never going to know that, by the way. It's just going to happen. And so that's the question mark. There's the rapture. Then there's this next question mark. And, this is something that I actually just learned. It's been several years ago now, but for the longest time, just studying Bible prophecy, hearing things taught, seeing charts, it always seemed like the rapture arrow was the beginning of that tribulation period. And by the way, I don't have an issue with someone putting that arrow at the beginning of the tribulation period, because the Bible does teach it'll be before the tribulation, but a lot of folks will just put that arrow right there where it says covenant confirmed. And it just kind of dawned on me through study, because I just asked myself the question, well, why do we think that the rapture starts the tribulation? And basically, there's just no Bible that says that. There's Bible that teaches it happens before. We've gone over that. In some painstaking detail, we've gone over that. But there's really no Bible that says it's synonymous with the beginning of the tribulation. And so I put this white box here with a question mark just to say, well, there could be some time between the rapture and the beginning of that tribulation period. There could be some time. We don't know how long. It might be that it is synonymous or it happens right at the beginning. Could be that the church is raptured out at the same time that the Antichrist is signing that covenant. It very well could be, but it definitely doesn't have to be that. So I just put a question mark there because there could be some time. And if you think about what will happen to the earth after that rapture takes place, it's going to just throw the earth into chaos. I mean, if you think our world's chaotic now, just wait till a few million people just go poof and are disappeared off the planet. It's just going to throw the whole world into chaos. And there may be some things that happen before the covenant's confirmed. So what I say is there just may be what we call final preparations for the tribulation. And I've got a few things here, and you could come up with 20 more, but there'll be a vacuum of power. For that Antichrist to come in, we'll look at his entrance tonight, but for him to come in and take power, there's got to be power to grab, and that will happen. I mean, that will be an effect of the rapture. Of course, economic collapse, all that has to be there. Rise and empowerment of a 10-nation ruling body, that gets into some things out of Revelation 13 and 17. But some things will start. It's already kind of happening today. There's already nations in place to do that. But whenever we have like worldwide catastrophe, those kinds of things will happen. Of course, we talked about war and peace talks. Negotiations regarding Israel's land. What are we having a battle over there today for, right? That's going on. Temple construction, a lot of people ask, when will the temple be built? All that we really know biblically is the temple has to be sitting there by the middle of that tribulation. That's it. So if they start that after the covenant, I kind of believe they'll start building the temple right after the covenant. We'll look at why I think that tonight. What I think the Bible says about that, but I think it'll be part of the peace treaty that the Antichrist makes. So there's some things that may happen or may ramp up between the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation. So the question really is then, what starts the 70th week? What starts the tribulation period? Well, let's look at Daniel chapter 9. And so here's what we know definitively. Here's what the Bible teaches that begins the tribulation period is a covenant made with the Antichrist, okay? It's a false covenant made. The Antichrist is the one who makes it, and he makes the covenant with Israel and other nations. But we see it in Daniel 9, and just look at verse 24 again. This is that 70-week prophecy. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. And I'm reading that now, because we won't have to turn back to Daniel 9 in just a little bit and read it again. But remember, the 70 weeks of Daniel are for Israel. That's what they're for. It says right there, they're determined upon thy people Israel, and thy holy city, which is Jerusalem. So these weeks, all 70 of them, have to do with Israel. Now, the last week is this week right here. We call it the tribulation. And it's verse 27 says, and he shall, this is the Antichrist here in verse 27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. Okay, so what starts the tribulation period is this covenant, all right? So if we look at Daniel 9, and so when we study prophecy, I've been saying this almost every week, what we like to do is we should be able to layer prophecy teaching on top of itself. So if we read it in Daniel, and then we read it in Matthew, and then we read it in Revelation, it should all fit together. It should all layer right on top of each other. So that's what we're going to continue to do here, is continue to build the timeline with the Scripture. So what begins the week is the Antichrist covenant, given in Daniel 9 and verse 27. You can also see that in, we'll look at it in just a second, in Matthew chapter 6. You can also see it in, Matthew 24. You can also see it in Revelation 6. But since you're in Daniel, look over at chapter 11 with me real quick, and just want to show you how the Antichrist will come. When I was a kid, I'd hear my parents, back in the 90s, right? That's when I was a kid. the 90s. I was born in 83. And so I remember sitting around at my grandparents' house, and my dad and the pastor and some other men would be there. And I mean, they'd be talking about prophecy, scaring me to death as a little kid, just scaring me to death. Isn't it amazing how far we've come? I mean, it got way worse, you know. It kind of scares me for what we might be talking about 20 years from now. But anyway, I remember them sitting around talking about that and talking about the Antichrist, and he's going to take power and he's going to be this leader. And I'm just going to tell you, I imagine the most wicked person, you know, the most wicked, which he will be. He will be the most wicked person. But let me just tell you, you won't know it. You won't know that he's wicked. He comes in peaceably, okay? He comes in, and he's going to be like a hero to the world. He's going to be very sly about it. Look at Daniel 11 in verse 21. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Now, this actually is talking about a historic character in the scriptures here, but it's a picture of the coming Antichrist. And so he's coming in peaceably. He obtains the kingdom by flatteries. Verse 22, and with the arms of a flood shall they be overthrown from before him and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the what? Covenant. Okay, so that's that Antichrist, the prince of the covenant. And after the league, that agreement made with him, we don't use the word league much, but that's just the covenant. That's the agreement. Okay, after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. For he shall come up and shall be strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province. And he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey, the spoil, and riches. Yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. All right, so he comes in, and he comes in peaceably, and he comes in and makes an agreement, a peace agreement. And so, again, I always imagined him as like, you know, some really, you know, I've even heard preachers say, well, there's always some wicked leader on the earth that Satan's kind of got ready. And that's true, but he doesn't look wicked to us, okay? Because he's not going to come. It's just like the devil doesn't show up with horns and a red tail, does he? No, he shows up as an angel of light. And so that's what's going to happen. He's going to come in deceitfully by flatteries, etc. Now, this will help us in just a second. So look over at Daniel 12 for a second. Daniel 12. So this is all just what starts the week, okay? We're just trying to, again, we're flying over. We want to know how to build this calendar and timeline. So what starts the week? Well, it's the signing of that covenant. Now, this will help us for a second because Daniel 12, if you'll look in verse number 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And so right here at the end of Daniel's prophecy, God tells him, hey, Daniel, seal up the book. This isn't going to happen for a while. This thing isn't going to begin until this book is unsealed. And so Daniel seals up the book. Now, we're going to start layering on some prophecy. So now go to Matthew 24. And again, just going to confirm sort of the beginning. Actually, go to Revelation. Let's go to Revelation first. Let's do Revelation first. Because I think we spent enough time in Revelation here recently that this should click really easy. So Revelation 2 and 3, church age. Okay, church is the focus. Church is on the earth. Church is doing, we're in that age of grace. Chapter 4, there's a rapture that takes place and John goes up to the heavens, and all of a sudden, the picture is the church is in heaven. There's a lot of worship going on. Chapter 5, we're still in heaven, and in John's picture here. And in chapter 5, it says in verse 1, and I saw the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. All right, so now we have this seven-sealed book. And we don't know which book that is. I'm not saying it's the book of Daniel. I think it very well could be, but it doesn't have to be. There's a sealed book there, and what's going to happen is the Lord, the Lamb, is going to come, and he's going to begin to open the seals. And each seal that he opens, when he opens the first seal, the tribulation is beginning. It's starting. and he's going to continue to open those seals. And those seals are seven judgments that are going to happen. And so now look at verse, or chapter 6, verse 1. And I'll just show you that as he opens the first seal, again, what we're going to see is it's the entrance of the Antichrist. Verse 1, chapter 6, verse 1, "I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Now, we're not going to look at the next seals just yet, but the first seal is this appearance of a white horse. And by the way, this is a picture of the Antichrist showing up. He's on a white horse, just like Jesus will show up on later on. And he's coming on the earth, and it says he has a bow in his hand, but no arrows, right? He has no arrow. He's not starting war here. How do I know that? Because he starts war a couple seals later. So this is just conquering. He's powerful. He's got his weapon. No arrows, though. No fighting. He goes and he goes out conquering and to conquer. And notice it says a crown was given unto him. Now, we read something similar to that back in Daniel 11, where these nations, he gathers up power from these nations. Revelation, I think it's 17, also talks about how the 10 nations will give him his power. Okay, so he's coming in by flatteries. He's coming in peaceably. He's coming in on what does the hero always ride? The white horse. And what kind of cowboy hat has he got on? A white hat. Good, right? This is Wyoming, right? You know that. Okay, so he's coming in as the hero. You know, but he's the Antichrist. So again, what happens in Revelation that starts the tribulation? Well, it's the appearance of the Antichrist, him coming and conquering. So again, it lines up with Daniel 9, 27. Now, just to make sure all of our layers are intact, go to Matthew 24. And now I just want you to see this. And Matthew 24, we went over it in detail a couple weeks ago. One of my favorite chapters really to get into. There's so much here. But the disciples, if you remember, are asking Jesus, "What will be the sign of thy coming?" And they were referring to this arrow right here. And so they're saying, what is going to happen before you return to the earth and set up your kingdom? That was their question. And so the Lord teaches to them in one chapter, pretty much the whole book of Revelation, but he teaches to them this 70th week, and that's the sign. The sign is the 70th week. Well, how does it start? Well, let's go to chapter 24, verse 4. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." That's the appearance of Antichrist. Now, there's going to be a lot of deception. There's going to be many coming, but one of them will be the Antichrist. If you look at the rest of the things Jesus says here are the seals that are open. Wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation, that's the war, the red horse, the famines, that's one of the horses, and the pestilences, that's another, the death, that's another one of the horses. Then verse 9, "They shall deliver up you to be afflicted and kill you." That's the martyrdom, that's the fifth seal. And so the Lord starts going through the teaching of the tribulation period, and it matches exactly what Revelation 6 says. So all that to say, the beginning of the week is when the Antichrist shows up. And we see that from Daniel, Matthew, Revelation, all those texts. Now, just for fun, let's go to Revelation 11. Do y'all have fun in church? Okay, go to Revelation 11 just for fun and just look at this. So there's also in this covenant, in this treaty that's going to begin the tribulation period, there's an agreement about the Temple Mount. Okay, so the building of the temple, and this is just really interesting. some have said the reason Hamas attacked in the first place, I believe this came from one of their leaders, said that the reason they attacked was because they feel they have to protect the Temple Mount. Because if they don't, Israel wants to build a temple up there. Well, you know what? Israel does want to build a temple up there and is going to build a temple up there. And so this fight over that Temple Mount is happening today. I have stood on the Temple Mount, And right now it's Muslim controlled. And the Israeli soldiers are all around it. They're ready to go. I mean, when I was there, they were in full gear, riot shields, the whole thing, standing around it. You had to go through them to get up on the Temple Mount. But you ask any Jew in Israel right now, and that's what they're what they say is, when we build that temple, the Messiah is coming. You know, that's what they're looking forward to that. Well, how will that ever happen? Because it's Muslim controlled. Well, look at Revelation 11. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein." So he's like, get up there on the Temple Mount and measure this. Verse 2, "But the court which is without the temple, leave out, measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles." Those would be those Muslims that are there now. "In the holy city, they shall tread underfoot 42 months." So there's going to be a time, an agreement. There's going to be a time when the temple is sitting there, but in the outer court, they didn't measure that part because the Gentiles are treading over that, at least for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. So it's just interesting that that agreement will involve some sort of resolution over the fight that we're seeing today over the Temple Mount. And of course, you know, that's an extremely tense situation. And so that's what begins the 70th week. Now, what does the 70th week look like? Now, here's the thing. We're going to do this. Again, we're at 30,000 feet. We're flying over. So as simply as possible, we have to understand the book of Revelation. Okay, Revelation 6 through 19 tells us what will happen during the tribulation period. And so I like to try to understand it this way. Revelation is three sets of seven judgments. I've said that quite a few times. I'm hoping that's catching on. That's really what it is. The tribulation period is three sets of seven judgments. So as you're reading, you'll see that there's six seals, followed by seven trumpets, and then there's seven vial judgments. And there's a lot of other things that happen in the midst of all that. But these are the main judgments that are going to happen to the earth during that time. So what are they? The first are the seven seals, okay? And we get this from Revelation 6 through Revelation 8, verse 1. And so here's where the Antichrist conquers, okay? That's the white horse, war, red horse. So he conquers, he makes his peace treaty, but then he takes peace from the earth. And so we have, there's a lot of scriptures about that second one on the war, because there'll be a great war that happens. And by the way, just like all the chess pieces are lining up right now in the Middle East for that to happen. Then the third horseman is the famine. Everyone's been fighting. No one's been planting crops. So what do you have? Everyone's hungry. Okay. What comes after everyone's fighting? Then there's no food. Well, that fourth horseman, the pale horse, is death. And that's where we saw that a quarter of the earth is died. There's a martyrdom of saints. Yes, there will be people being saved. In the tribulation period, God sends two witnesses to the earth, and then later 144,000 witnesses that are witnessing to the Jews and the Gentiles. And I don't know how many people will be saved, but there will be billions left on the earth to go through the tribulation. So there's plenty of people that could be saved during that time. Then the sixth seal is ecological disaster. So there's some things going on with nature. And then we have silence, the last seal, and really the last seal begins the trumpet judgments. Then you have a set of seven trumpet judgments. And you can find these in Revelation 8, verse 6, through chapter 10, in verse 7. And so, again, these all have to do with kind of thirds. And the reason these last three are in red is because you may hear someone talk about the three woes of Revelation. The last three trumpet judgments are called woes. There's one that it's woe, woe, woe unto the earth. And so they just get progressively worse. And so, so you have the hail and fire, third plant life destroyed, a third of the sea made to blood, a third of the fresh water made to blood, and of course a third of the fish in there die, a third of the ships are wrecked, all that is in there. A third of the lights dimmed, the bottomless pit open. Revelation 9, interesting, demonic creatures that have a king over them named Abaddon. Abaddon is a name given to the spirit of Antichrist all throughout the scriptures. We see Abaddon's name. in the Bible, there's always Christ and Antichrist. And so another place you see abandonment, this is why I'm trying to stay at 30,000 feet. There's so much fun stuff. When Jesus was on the cross, who else was hanging on a tree? Do you remember? Judas. Judas was hanging on a tree. And Judas was called the son of perdition. And the son of perdition, his name is linked with abandonment. It's very interesting. And so you got Christ, Antichrist in the Bible all the time. And so here we have a bottomless pit open, the spirit of Antichrist released, and all this other stuff happening. Again, a couple more woes there. There's a big battle that takes place. And then the last trumpet really gives way to the seven vials. Then we have the seven vial judgment. These, by the way, I should have said this, the first seven seals, the seven seals take place more or less in the first half of the tribulation period. The trumpets will be probably just after the halfway point. The vials definitely all the way at the end. So the vials happen really near the end. You say, how do you know that? Well, that third vial, all water made to blood. How long can humanity last if every drop of water on earth is blood? Well, not very long, right? And so these will happen near the end. So these are the judgments. So when you read, and by the way, that's the vials are Revelation 16. And then Revelation 17 and 18 are kind of, they're not, Revelation 17 is, it talks about religious Babylon, and Revelation 18 talks about economic Babylon. So they're not part of the storyline. They're explaining some things that have already happened. The next thing you see is Revelation 19, where the Lord returns. And so when you read through Revelation, this is what you're reading. You're reading the seals, the trumpets, and then the vials. Now there's other things that happen. In the tribulation, we have the two witnesses. Be a lot of fun to argue about who they are. It's Moses and Elijah, and we can argue. There's people that think it's Enoch and Elijah. There's other reasons that people think other things, but God will send those two witnesses, and in their ministry, according to Revelation 11, is probably the first half of the tribulation, and the Antichrist kills them midway through. He kind of becomes a hero in that way. During the seal judgments, they kind of pause, and the Lord marks 144,000 Jews, and they're sent out to preach the gospel of the kingdom. It's if you read your Bible, everywhere there's men on earth, God has a witness. Okay, God has a gospel witness all the time, and even in the tribulation period, there will be a witness of the gospel to those who have never heard. And so we have the 144,000 Jews, the two witnesses. Of course, religious Babylon is that false church system that is really enforced in the first half, but kind of takes over in the second half. Again, that's Revelation 17. The Antichrist's false resurrection. Revelation 13 says he's slain with a deadly wound, and that deadly wound is healed. And so what does he do? He copycats what Christ has done, right? And so he has that. That's Revelation 13. After he raises, he goes to the temple. He declares himself to be God. That's called the abomination of desolations. And that is the time, the midpoint there, is the time where he'll institute the mark of the beast. So Revelation 18 picks up, and you have the economic Babylon. And at that point, the beast is declaring himself to be God. He's already died, risen from the dead. He's committed the abomination of desolations. And at that point, middle of the tribulation, he's controlling all the religion and all the economics. It's all kind of one thing. And so I can give you, if you want some scriptures for that later, I can give you all those references. But that is those are the main events of Revelation. There's other things in there. There's other explanations. There's a lot of apocalyptic literature, so there's a lot of chapters that sort of explain something that's already been talked about to give us clarity and gives us definitions and helps us to know what we're talking about. But those are the main events of the tribulation period, are those 21 judgments and then these other key factors. So I'm throwing this up here again. This is something that one of these days, as the Lord leads, I'll teach through Revelation verse by verse. It'd be a lot of fun. But this shows you where everything is. So I know that you probably can't read all this because, well, if your eyesight's like mine, you're just looking at a big blur right now, right? But anyway, these are the first seven seals right here. All right, they're right there. And there's the 144,000 seal. And there's the seventh seal, which starts the trumpets. Those trumpets go really to the midpoint, which is the first woe is kind of the midpoint. In the first half of the tribulation, Matthew 24 calls it the beginning of sorrows. Religious Babylon, the Antichrist is sort of developing his religious system. The two witnesses are on earth as witnesses of the gospel. There's a war going on in heaven. Again, I said there's a lot of other things in Revelation that are happening at that time, but at the midpoint, a whole lot of stuff happens. Fifth trumpet, bottomless pit opens, Antichrist spirit released, resurrection of the Antichrist. So you have the unholy trinity of Antichrist, false prophet, and Satan. Mark of the beast, you know, kind of the beginning of his kingdom, abomination of desolation, and so on. Then here's the seventh trumpet, and these are interesting because it tells us how long will be between each of these, but sixth trumpet is the second woe, and then the seventh trumpet, and then after that we have the vile judgments. Some of these things right here, Satan and the beast persecute the woman and Israel flees to Petra. We're going to look at that next week. But Matthew calls that second half the Great Tribulation. This all comes down to the end where the Lord comes back, Revelation 19, and we have that, I'm going to call it the campaign of Armageddon, which we'll go over next week. But that's how it all kind of lays out, the book of Revelation. I'm just showing you that to show you that it is there and it does lay out. So now, that's what's going on during or in the tribulation. So we have, let me look at my notes here for a second. So we have what starts it, okay? What starts it is the covenant. And then what happens during the tribulation is, well, it's all that stuff. Here's the question, what's the purpose? Right? Why would God do that? What's the purpose of the tribulation? Well, notice, I put this back up here because I want you to see this. Our path, the path of the saints, what are the key things that are going to happen? There's a judgment. We all will appear at the judgment seat of Christ, right? So there's a judgment. Then there's a covenant confirmed. What's the covenant? Well, that's the marriage of the Lamb. That's when we're presented to Christ. Then there's a feast. Right? That's what's going to happen with us. Judgment, covenant, feast. Did you know for the Gentiles, they also have a judgment, covenant, and feast? And for Israel, they're also going to have a judgment, covenant, and a feast. It's the same for all the people. So there's three strands of people we always talk about, the church, the Jew, the Gentile. We've already talked about the church. So what happens to the Gentile? We're going to do this one really quick because the focus of the tribulation period is not the Gentile. It's actually the Jew. But there are a whole lot of unsaved people there on the earth, and so God is working with them as well. But let's look at the Gentile first. Go to Revelation 17. And actually, here's what we're going to do. We're going to stop right there. Because I'm exactly halfway through my notes, and it's exactly time to go home. Okay? And so I'm going to stop right there. So what we did tonight is we filled in the timeline. We know what's going to happen and when. Next week, I just want to tell you, not next week, because it's Thanksgiving. I'm not going to preach about the tribulation on Thanksgiving, okay? We'll wait till the week after. But I do want to tell you why. What's the purpose? You know, the Bible tells us the purpose. I tell you, we look at something like this, we think, man, this is all about God's judgment, and it is. I mean, there's some awful, awful judgment. But alongside that judgment, continuously is long-suffering. It's just more opportunity for people to turn. More opportunity for people to get it. More opportunity for people to come to Christ. And so both with the Gentiles that are left on earth and Israel, the whole purpose is to turn them back to the Lord. Unfortunately, most don't turn back to the Lord. But that's the whole purpose. So we're going to stop. We've built our timeline. So next week we'll just look at the purpose. And that way you still like me after tonight and I don't preach too long, okay? Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for your word and the truth of it. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us. I know just teaching lessons like this, you kind of walk away and think, what do I do with that? But Lord, we do need to know. We need to know your Bible. You've written it for us. You've given us this information. So we're told to study, rightly divide. And so, Lord, that's what we're doing. We pray you'd help us in our understanding of it. And, Lord, just to help us to grow as Christian people. Father, I pray you'd bless us as we go, and Lord, especially for those tonight that are recovering, Lord, think of Lisa and Mary and maybe even others like Miss Jan, and just, Lord, some that really need your healing touch tonight. And we pray for them. We pray that you would give them just what they need. Lord, dismiss us with your love. We ask for blessings on the rest of the week, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, a couple things to remember. We do have our grow outreach this Saturday at 10 o'clock. So if you're able to go, got all those packets ready today. Me and my wife got them ready, and I'm excited. I'm excited to take them and get out there. We're going to be going first to a neighborhood just being south of here, this neighborhood just to the south of us here. And what we're going to do is we're going to work from the church in the circle. We're just going to kind of expand it out until we get flyers on everybody's door. But don't be scared to come. Some of these packets just have 10 flyers in them, and some have 31. I think the highest one like 31, 32, something like that. So it's not going to be a ton. And so if you're saying, man, I can't walk very far, we'll give you a packet that's got 10. And I think you'll learn that once you do 10, you could easily do 20 and maybe 30. And one of these days you'll be doing about 50, and you won't even notice it. It's like the frog in the water. We just turn it up a little. And but I just want you to know it's going to be easy, and the Lord will bless it. And so that's Saturday at 10. Come on out, and we'll just have a good time, pass some flyers out. Then Sunday we have the Lord's Supper at 2 o'clock. Remember, no fellowship Saturday, Sunday, 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 Sunday. No fellowship Sunday. We'll do our Lord's Supper at 2 o'clock in the afternoon service. And then Tuesday, I don't know why I can't get all this straight. Tuesday we're having our Thanksgiving dinner at 7 o'clock here at the church. We're going to eat at 7. We're going to have a great time together, a fellowship. We're going to sing a couple songs. We're going to have some time there to praise the Lord and give some testimonies if you'd like, and just enjoy the time together. And so that's what's going on this weekend. So keep all that in mind as you go about your week, all right? Okay, we'll see you Saturday then. Lord willing.